Hi everyone, Samian here. I'll get to the video in just a moment. But first, let me tell everyone about today's sponsor, Moneyline Investments. This is a premier sports service. If you're interested in making sustainable remote income instead of women stealing your income, then this service is for you. It has a proven track record of getting its clients an average of $1,600 a month with only a $100 investment. The more you invest, the more you make. If you want to make money daily, sign up with MoneylineInvestments.com. And use my promo code SANEMAN for 15% off your first subscription. If you sign up for the monthly package, you get a 100% money-back guarantee if you don't profit from their three-step system. What are you waiting for? Sign up at the sponsor link down below. Anyways, here's the video, so enjoy. Hey everybody, this is Sandman, and I've got some very special guest here with me today. Let's just call him The Landman. And I've been chatting with him on and off for the last month or so, and we've been talking about possibly setting up a community for bachelors, let's just say, down in Texas. It's about an hour north of, I think it's Dallas or Houston.
No, Houston.
Yes, there he is. There's the Landman. And so let me introduce Landman and let him tell you all about this plan about setting up a community of single men for the most part, because it's a little bit more complicated. And so just take it away.
All right. So yeah, Landman here. I've been using Landman on other platforms, and it just kind of works out that I'm on Sandman's podcast right now. But yeah, me and the Sandman have been talking for about a month, and he seemed pretty interested when I told him, oh, well, I've got, you know, around 250 lots in this one subdivision, and I develop the lots and sell them. I sell them on owner financing, and I develop them so that they're ready with utilities on them for people to, you know, put their own cabin or tiny home on wheels, RV.
And just so everybody knows, this is, the community is called, like, the development is called Port Adventure, right? And it's near Lake Livingston. And what's really interesting about the development is, as opposed to other developments that are kind of out in the boonies, this one actually lets you connect with electric and water. So you actually get utility, so you don't have to live off the grid. I mean, one of the main drawbacks about having a tiny home or a trailer is that you're off the grid and you have to deal with all kinds of issues because of that. So that's one of the things that really attracted me to what you're doing. So anyway, go ahead.
Well, yeah, when we first started talking, you were telling me about your plan to go to Arizona and buy a piece of property out there, and those places didn't have, I don't know if they had electric lines, but they didn't have water and sewer on them. And that's, I've had a lot of experience with that too, because a lot of land I own in other places doesn't have those things. I mean, they might have electricity on a county road, but no well. So, I mean, there's a lot of development that has to go into something like this. But when I found this subdivision and bought all of my lots, I was like, man, this is a diamond in the rough, because there are so many empty lots here, but it's got all the utilities. It's got water, sewer, and electric.
So have you ever found that anywhere else before?
No, I mean, well, yeah, I have, but the thing is, usually those are more residential subdivisions, where this one is a mix of residential and camping almost, because you can live in an RV full time, which is not allowed by nearly any subdivision. I mean, so...
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's one of the things that I kind of looked at first. I mean, I like the idea of RV living, but the problem with RVs is they're not really designed to be lived in year-round, because things tend to break down a lot.
Right.
But, you know, the advantage is, like, say I'm up in Canada and I can buy an RV and live in an RV place in Canada during the summer, you know, late spring and early fall, and then just basically drive down and then hook up down in Texas. And then that way I can pretty much, you know, have a place down there. So I don't have to, you know, close up my RV in Canada and then go down south for the winter and, like, have another property technically. Right. So, you know, this comes down to, you know, living frugally, but also living really well in terms of being able to travel south and enjoy the warm weather and enjoy, you know, living in the States during the colder weather too. So you know, let's talk about like the price of this and kind of what this community would be all about. So you own 200, 250, you know, lots that are ready for development. Like, what's the width on the lot and the length roughly?
Are they they're mostly 40 by 90 to 100. So 40 feet of road frontage, and then they look like a rectangle going back.
Okay.
It's about a tenth of an acre, which is, it sounds small, but if you've got a flat lot that's a tenth of an acre, there's a lot of room there to put a house, a shed, a garage, park your cars.
Yeah, and I mean, for the most part, a lot of the units, like a lot of the land next to them is undeveloped. So there's a lot of lots that are still completely surrounded by wilderness in a sense. So you still have a lot of kind of nature until the community kind of develops over time. And like you said, you can camp there year round. You can put an RV, you can put a tiny home. So you can, like, say you're in Canada and you can put the tiny home. There are RV parks that will allow you to put a tiny home, especially in Western Canada and the prairie provinces. Then you can basically haul it down in the winter, put it on the property there. And because you own it, you don't have to be held, you know, you don't have to be held hostage by the high rents of trailer parks, which is, you mentioned this to me earlier before we went in the chat, that this is one of the strategies that you have in terms of getting people down there. You get people who are being gouged at trailer parks these days because hedge funds are buying them up and they just keep jacking up the rents and they know they can't move their trailer anywhere. So you can bring people to your properties, put them there, sell the property to them, and now they're pretty much like set in place, and they have their own freedom. They're not held hostage by corporations anymore. And when you first approached me with this, you said that, hey, this community would be really good for, you know, bachelors, men that go their own way, because we can literally go there, and because you own the majority of the lots there. And if you sell the majority of the lots to guys, then we can build a community, and we can pretty much have say in terms of the homeowners association, in terms of how we want to take the community and develop it. Not only that, but we can actually have a community center. And, you know, like, the problem with men, the single men, is like everybody wants to kind of live their own life. Everyone is kind of like a cat. They do their own thing. And this way, every guy gets his own lot. But at the same time, we can still come together on certain major issues.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the strengths of the plan. So basically, if you've got a MGTOW community, you don't want everybody living on one plot of land that, you know, they're just kind of renting their own little spot. I mean, that would never work. But yeah, if everybody's got their own deed, they've got their own property, I mean, you can be friends together, or you cannot be friends together, and it's not really going to affect anybody. So it'll be more of a loose collaboration of whatever people decide to do down there. And yeah, there's a lot you said there that I could comment on too. It's like reason that I'd recommend that this is such a good plan for people is the financial freedom it could bring you. Like if you've got monthly overhead of less than $1,000.
Well, let's kind of go deeper into the, like, the pricing. So basically you're charging, like, so there's a couple options here. Like, you can, the properties around there, we have to be kind of upfront with everybody and say, like, the properties around there, you can buy them undeveloped for, you know, $5,000 to $10,000, but you have to put in, you know, all the hookups in terms of utilities. You have to clear the land. You have to put in the gravel driveway. You know, there's, you're providing value because you're doing all of those things for people, right? Like, it's, you know, people move into a renovated house, because they want the convenience of not having to renovate it and live in a construction zone for however many months they're living there, right? With you, you're pretty much doing the same thing. You're basically giving them something that's, you know, that's ready. Like, it's pretty much the land is ready for them to put their property onto, or like their house or their RV or their tiny home or whatever they want to do.
Yeah. So like, I used to sell them undeveloped, and there was this guy, Frank from Michigan, and he's a snowbird, and he tried to do it all remotely. I was giving him, okay, call this contractor for your driveway, get this guy to come out here and wire up your electric and put an outlet there for your for your rig and everything. And that just went horribly for him. And then he realized he needed to be down there, and he basically did his driveway over again, leveled it again. And, you know, this is when he saw me developing for other people. And he's like, man, I wish I had just went ahead and done that. I actually wasn't even offering it at the time, but, yeah, I mean, it is, like, I'll sell somebody an undeveloped lot. They can come down and stay in my driveway. I'll rent them another developed lot when they're doing their thing or whatever. But also, if they want to buy from me, they can pay cash and I'll give them a discount. What I usually sell for is $30,000 right now on owner financing for most of the sales. And the monthly payment, it's like $2,900 down, and the monthly payment comes out to be about $350. So there's a lot of ways that somebody could, you know, go about getting one of these lots. And yeah, they could even come down and try and buy one from a local. And, you know, yeah, I'd help them out with that too. Like, really, this is not aimed at my normal marketing. Like, this is more like I want MGTOWs and bachelors to come down here, and I just want to help them out. And if I can give them a discount, I will. I mean, I have lots that I own personally, and then my company has lots. So, you know, I don't have much wiggle room on what I'm selling from my company with my partners, but I have my lots.
How much would you give them, like, say, cash discount, if instead of paying $30,000 over however many years, if they just paid you upfront cash?
I mean, if they wanted me to develop it, I'd say I give it to them for $25,000, and I might even be more generous than that if the time comes. If they want an undeveloped lot, probably more like $17,000.
Okay.
So, like, I do like to make money on these.
Yeah. No. That's when we spoke about this first. I was like, well, you gotta make some profit off of this. And the fact is, like, you know, they're
selling anyway.
Yeah, and you're identifying something. Like, there's a video that I'll put a link to in the chat. It's from Jeremiah Babe, and there's a tiny home community in Texas. Mind you, in this case, you get a tiny home. In this case, you just get the lot, right? And then you got to put your own structure on it. But
yeah, you were telling me about that. How much is the deal over there?
Anywhere between 120, 30 to like 200,000 for like a really tiny, tiny house. Like, it's really, really small.
Oh, that's crazy. I mean, you'd probably be living, like, when you get the opportunity to live in a less developed place where you can get your lot and your tiny home for, I mean,
let's say the lot would be 25, and then I've been looking at tiny homes that you can buy off of companies that are, you know, they're pretty decent, and they're running about 75,000-80,000. So you're getting it for that for 100. And now on top of that, you know, you can move that tiny home because it's on wheels. So you're not stuck. These tiny homes that Jeremiah showed, they're basically just they're on a concrete foundation. And so you can't move them anywhere. And this is the problem. Like, you know, we were talking about this as well. Like, Texas gets hot in the summer, right? So it makes sense if you're a snowbird, but if you're just a person who just wants to kind of live there year round, you've got to be running your air conditioner year round. So that kind of eats into the cost of living. Mm-hmm. And we also talked about how, you know, the target audience or the target demographic for this, you know, are guys, maybe retired guys who are like snowbirds, and maybe they already own a trailer and they're already in a park in Canada or Northern United States. And this would give them an option to go further south during the winter where they own the land and where they can pretty much hook up to the, and pay as little as they want and not get gouged on rents. So that's definitely one way to look at it.
Like a bunch of the customers I have already.
Yeah. Another demographic would be people like myself who pretty much do remote work. So if I'm working, you know, 90% of my work is remote, then, you know, I just hook up to Starlink and I can connect to the internet and I get my water and my power, and then I'm pretty much, you know, ready to go. I've got everything I need.
Yeah, I mean, I have Starlink out there, but there's also the cable company, and then
will the cable company hook up directly to your property?
Yeah. And then right now, one of the companies, Windstream, I can see them working their way up the highway now. I've already talked to one of the salespeople, but they're bringing fiber into all the subdivisions going up 356. So there's, you know, you're going to have 1 gig up and 1 gig down, and it's going to be super fast. I've already got a bunch of customers who work from home. I mean, I work from home.
Yeah.
No, and that's another thing that I'd like to see. What I'm trying to get together is a group of MGTOWs who are like getting their freedom. They can work from home. They don't have much cost. They'll have plenty of free time. Like, I don't know, people working on the internet, like yourself, creators, and yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, those two demographics that I kind of pointed out are, like, definitely key demographics. But I'm thinking, like, who else might be, like, who else would you want to, like, what other people have you sold to and that you that find that convenient? Is it, like, mostly retirees, snowbirds?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I can tell you about a bunch of customers. Like, one that comes to mind is, do you remember, like, a couple weeks ago I sent you a picture and I was like, this guy moved in here today and he brought his tiny home from Florida?
Yeah, you basically had a tiny home and also he had like a smart car. So he was kind
yeah.
of... Yeah.
So he lives for super cheap. He's retired. He's probably 60 years old, I think he told me. And he, by all rights, is a MGTOW. I mean, we were talking and he's definitely gone his own way. But he moved out of Florida because... the place he was living, it was just going up in cost, and he found this and he's super happy with it. I'm going to be making a review video with him. There's a bunch of couples that have moved down. They're basically snowbirds. They take off in the summer. They go, there's a couple from Massachusetts and they go work at festivals and then come back. I mean, there's a couple that came from New Hampshire and one of them's a builder, and I've been looking at having him build me some cabins. He built a couple nice cabins for himself for super cheap. And there's a guy from France. He's an IT worker. He does all of his work from home.
Yeah, so I'm just thinking in terms of demographics, that's kind of the target audience. I think you're also – like, I mean, this video is basically called – tiny home community in Texas for just men, but obviously we can't really do that legally, right? So what's really happening is anyone can really buy a unit, and you know, we're going to get women coming in there and buying up properties, but you know, because they're going to want access to a larger group of single available men with money and resources. So like, we, you know, this has always happened throughout history. That's perfectly fine. But there are certain, what I would call, safeguards in place to basically keep a lot of the, you know, the, let's say the softer women out of there, because like, number one, like it's out in the boonies, like it's about an hour and a half north of Houston, right? So it's a rural area and there, you know, you're not going to see that many liberal women showing up in a rural area. So that's right. Number one, you know, so it's kind of not let's say it's difficult to get from Houston. Women don't like driving that much. So that's one thing. It's also what I would call, you know, it's not dangerous or dirty, but it's like the roads, like in the subdivision, are not what I would call pristine, right? So the roads are kind of
they're a bit rough.
Yeah, they're rough. Like there's like I looked at the roads and I was like, oh, there's like patches of missing asphalt. I'm like, okay, like, you know, if you're driving through with a truck or a four wheel drive, you're fine, right? You don't care.
Oh,
right?
you're fine driving in there with a car. I have a truck and a car.
Yeah.
And I like driving my car in there even more because my truck is just, you know, it gets bounced around so much going through there.
Yeah, I mean, but you see, the thing is, women don't like rough roads, right? That they're going to be like, oh, this road is too rough. Like, look, I've driven through rural Arizona and Nevada and stuff like that, and I've, you know, gone on those rural roads. I don't care, right? Like, but a lot of people, they're like, oh my God, I can't believe you're on that road. And so that's going to keep a lot of people away.
I mean, I have the exact feedback that you're talking about. Just came from my salesperson a few days ago. She was like, it's single gals. They don't want to move out there. They all give me the same feedback. And they're just like, this isn't what I want. I mean, I am going out there on Saturday to show another single woman the lot. But I mean, that's typically what happens. They get interested and they come out and then they decide it's not for them.
Well, I mean, if they're driving on a road that's not like super high grade, then it's difficult to drive on. And then if it could be dangerous, right? If they're not careful, if they're not paying attention, and then
it's not going to be dangerous, but
Well, it for them it will be, trust me.
So. Well, okay, yeah, I guess.
Depends on the driver, right?
Right.
And then, you know, like in terms of, let's see, what else have I got here in my notes? So yeah, I'm just kind of looking at, I don't know, we've covered a lot of ground. Anything specifically that you think I haven't really brought up or haven't talked about?
Well, I mean, really just the aspect of the community that we'd like to see show up out there. I mean, I don't think we're really going to have to worry about women showing up. I mean, if we really get the word out and MGTOW guys just start showing up left and right, we'll have the whole place full and, you know, just have, it won't seem like, even if there are a few women, it's not going to really, it's going to still seem like a MGTOW community. And I mean, the people that I'd like to show up there, I'd like them to be, you know, not maladjusted, kind of weirdo guys, but people who come out there who know how to do things and, you know, maybe e-commerce, content creation. Those are my two backgrounds, actually. I sold on Amazon during the golden period of selling on Amazon. And so I have some knowledge in that area. I run an e-commerce business now. So, yeah, and people who like to play golf. I love to play golf. People who want to play cards. People who want to build stuff.
Okay. No, I'm thinking more in terms of like, you know, in terms of community, having guys out there that have varied skills. And, you know, another thing I talked to you about before was, you know, I've been, you know, one of the things that I find the world lacks is beauty, right? Like most of the structures out there, like even the stuff I'm showing in this video as a slideshow, like a lot of the stuff in terms of tiny home designs is kind of boring. Like it doesn't have any real character or flair to it, right? So for me, you know, like I would, like I've looked online at all kinds of tiny home companies, and some of these things are just like the stuff you can do in terms of experimental architecture is just out of this world. Like hopefully I'll find some in as we're talking right now, and I'll just basically be like throwing some stuff in right now, like so people can see. Like I've seen stuff that looks like Gothic architecture. I've seen stuff that looks like it's straight out of like science fiction. That's like, you know, hundreds of years in the future, you know?
Yeah. I'd love to have some people show up and with that kind of ambition and make some really cool looking stuff that would actually inspire a whole neighborhood full of that. I mean, you could put my shipping container home up on the,
And I will. I'm just thinking like in terms of, you know, like, the thing is, what draws people to a place is beauty, right? So if you have, and the thing is, a lot of people are not going to be able to construct these places. I know I can't, like I can design it, but I can't construct it. I'm not a carpenter. I'm not a welder and all these things. So for me, it would be like, okay, I would identify where you could find these tiny home companies that manufacture them, you know, for, you know, 100, 150,000 that look like that.
You're talking big numbers there though. I already know people who can build this stuff for way less. I mean, in East Texas, where we are, I mean, people work for cheap. And I know people that, you know, my place, if you're looking at this right now, it's on the screen. I spent between $40,000 and $50,000 to make that. I found somebody at Lowe's. We're good buddies now. And he basically built nearly the whole damn thing. And then I know a bunch of other builders down there, too. So, I mean, you're not going to have to spend, like, you could build a really nice cabin for under 50 grand.
No, I totally get that. Like, I totally understand.
Even a tiny home on wheels.
No, I totally get that. I'm totally all for that. But what I'm saying is if you want to make something that looks, okay, there's people who build like hobbit houses or they build earthships, or they build, you know, like,
right.
And you go to an earthship community like I've been to in New Mexico, and there's just earthships. Or you go to, you know, like you go to a little hobbit town or a little, like the tiny house community that I was telling you about, Jeremiah Babe's, that he went to. All the houses look the same, right? And this is the problem. Like, it's a monoculture. Everything looks identical. You know, what I would love to do is, like, go down to, you know, Port Adventure, drive through, and be like, oh my God, that looks like it's,
300 years into the future. Oh my God, that looks like it's a miniature neo-Gothic cathedral. Oh my God, I don't know what that looks like, some sort of glowing orb thing, right?
Well, that would be amazing. I hope that somebody hears this video and contacts us and it was like, hey, I've got these ideas to go create this stuff. And
no, but
I
this
would
stuff,
just say, come on.
Like,
come
I've
on,
seen, man. I've seen steampunk tiny homes, right? Like, they look like something. So everyone has their own kind of expressive thing. And companies manufacture this stuff, right? So you can buy this stuff for, you know, for relatively cheap from these companies. Again, you're going to run, you know, 100, 150,000 for one of these. But number one, you own it and you own the land, right? So that's important. But also, if there's a community of them, then it becomes a destination. And then these things, creativity attracts creativity. And then eventually you get more and more people kind of developing and moving in and being like, oh, I want to live here because so-and-so has this amazing like tiny home. And it's just like, I can't believe this. And because, you know, you look out your window, it's not about where you live. It's about when you look out your window, what you see. I think that that's kind of what a lot of people are missing when it comes to building communities. And, you know, it's about seeing something that, you know, something unique, something innovative. Because, well, anyway, like I've done a lot of traveling over the last 10 years, and I couldn't figure out why I was so obsessed with traveling for so long. And, you know, I'll be going to Budapest. So by the time people hear this, I'll probably be in Budapest while this is playing. So what ended up happening was I would travel and I would be drawn to beautiful places, beautiful things. And, you know, I started over the years building these, like over the last couple of years, building Lego building structures out of, you know, just the Lego bricks, but using all these fancy pieces. And all of a sudden I cured my wanderlust to some extent because, you know, I thought about, oh, I'm going to go travel there. It's like, well, actually the stuff that I'm building, I get more enjoyment from than actually seeing in person in another country. So the world has a lack of beauty. The beauty has been sucked out of the world and it's being repackaged and resold to us. And, you know, like, you know, if you want a beautiful car, you have to spend $100,000, $200,000. For an average car, you're going to spend $30,000, $40,000, but it's not going to be beautiful. It's just going to be a utility. Mm. And I think this is being done on purpose. I think that literally they're sucking out beauty and they're repackaging it and they're reselling it to us for a higher cost. The more beautiful an object, the higher the cost.
Well, I saw a headline today that was like, they're going to build a town in Texas for 70,000 migrants. And I thought to myself, well, I wonder what that's going to look like. They're going to be the most basic structures. I mean, it's just going to look like a shit village and the complete opposite of what you're saying. And like, it is this like state-driven vision of what everybody should have.
I mean, this, you know, they're doing the same thing in Canada. They don't have enough affordable housing. So what they want to do is they want to build these horrible like tenements and they want to build, you know, basically the projects, right? Like, you know, four or five story projects and like dump them everywhere, identical looking monocultures, right? You're bringing in a ethnic group that's a monoculture and then you're putting that migrant monoculture into a bunch of buildings that look like monocultures. So,
yeah. And that's an example of the state doing something because of like the economics of it. But you even think about subdivisions with their HOAs and their cookie cutter houses and what your, you know, house can be painted and what you can have planted in your yard and stuff. And I mean, here we have a blank canvas. Most of the trees are there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the lots. And I'm hoping somebody contacts us with an amazing vision and a little bit of a budget to go out there and do some cool stuff. I mean, that's the inspiration I had when I went out there. Cause I was like, I went out there and this guy I came across, he was an old guy and he had all these shipping containers there and he said he couldn't do it because his back hurt.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'll buy these containers from you with these lots. Just tell me what to do. And, you know, we did the first part of it together and I thought it was cool. I built a shipping container home. And,
that's
another thing that you can't find a place with utilities, a subdivision, where you're going to have all this and build a shipping container home. And HOA is not going to let you do that.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
you've got the blank canvas here.
See, my thing is like, you know, say you had enough people influenced with the HOA. And then what you could do is you could say to people, they'd say, oh, I want to build this property. It's like, at some point, you know how like HOAs, they demand everything looks cookie cutter. Imagine an HOA that said, hey, like, you know, submit your approval, and they basically show you just some basic built structure. You're like, no, this isn't creative enough for this community, right? You gotta try harder. It's like, what? It's like,
well,
I know I'm throwing a wild idea out there because it's kind of like,
I think it's great. I think it's a great ambition. I mean, basically there's already stuff out there. Like I told you, that guy has he's got a trailer with the old Hamburglar thing from the playground, the hamburger with the bars in it.
Yeah.
There's already some stuff out there, but like, and you can't go back and really fix all that. And
yeah, like what I would do.
I have a claim to be the ACC chair, the architectural committee approval guy. So, I mean, I technically have the veto power on any building that goes up out there, but I let anything go.
Yeah, no, but exactly. Right now you want to develop. But what I'm saying is like a lot of communities, a lot of cities that people want to go to are usually master planned, right? They usually have architecture that's purpose built. It, there's five kind of things when you're building a building that are really important, like traditional building. You know, you want curves. So arches, anything like round that draws the human eye, any kind of animal or plant like print built into the side of the building, you know, like statues and things like that. Another thing is symmetry. A lot of structures that have symmetry are more connected to they draw the human eye, right? Because we're attracted to symmetrical faces. So a building has to have like a face that it has to connect to. So what I'm saying in terms of architecture, like I'm going to throw up a bunch of stuff that I'm just kind of finding off the internet, like just the most interesting tiny homes that you'll ever see. And then just imagine all of these kind of in a wooded area. Because what would be really interesting is if these kinds of places were there, it could draw in a lot of tourism. Like a lot of people come in for tourism and people don't really kind of understand. Like obviously you don't want people like tourists like wandering on your lawn and stuff like that. But, you know, like people will just drive through just for the thrill of it, right? And then what that does is it promotes traffic. And that traffic will basically pay for, you know, be able to set up like a fast food place or a motel or whatever, right? So you'll be able to attract business to that area, right? So,
yeah, I mean, you could put your own cool Airbnb in there that it was really unique that people would love to stay in.
Yeah, exactly. So like when I look at, like I'm looking at Trinity. So the closest town, is it Sebastopol or is it Trinity? Sebastopol is a really small place.
Well, though. Let me talk about the area a little bit, I guess. Yeah. So it's located in the town of Trinity. It's on the north end of the lake. It'll take you from Port Adventure to go downtown Houston, where I have an apartment too. It takes me about an hour and 20 minutes. And then if you pull out of Port Adventure and take a right, you've got Trinity, the town with supermarkets, post office and everything. That's 10 minutes away. Go the other direction, you've got Onalaska, same sort of deal. Then if you go 20 minutes in that direction, you've got the town of Livingston. It's more like a city. It's got all the fast food places, Walmart, all that stuff. And then you're about 40 minutes away from the city of Huntsville. And that's like that's got a university. That's got,
so that,
it's a big place.
The Dollar General I see in Livingston, is there a Dollar General that's closer?
Yeah, there's a Dollar General in right beside Port Adventure. I could walk there in like 10 minutes. And then there's a gas station there too now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, okay, there I see it. It's on the lake. Yeah,
the gas station is new. You get the sense when you're up there like, wow, this whole area is coming up because development is just sweeping up the east side of the lake now because the west side is all like built up. You're coming to the north end of Houston and you've got, you know, suburbs going all the way out to just the south side of the lake. And now it's starting to like wrap around and go up the east side where Port Adventure is.
Yeah, no, I totally see this. Like, you know, it's just, I'm looking at the map here. I'll probably share the map with everybody here. Yeah, so it's like, it's realistically, it's the town of Sebastopol, right? So you got Dollar General.
Well, there's,
got, The River
the
Market.
I don't even know what that is. There's like nothing there. Like Trinity is the town. It's in Trinity.
But okay. Yeah. So it's probably just like an old village name or something.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm seeing like it's Trinity, Texas, but that area is specifically called Sebastopol on Google Maps. So there's the River Market, which is a gas station. And then you've got the Dollar General, which, like you say, it's like literally a walk from the development. It's not even that far. Yeah. And then the lake, the huge lake. So if people like, is there actually any fishing on that lake?
Oh yeah, it's a huge, huge lake for fishing. I mean, there's the largest gar fish in the world have been caught there. I mean, lots of fishing goes on there. I mean, I think it's the second biggest lake in Texas. It's basically the reservoir for Houston, and I mean, it's an enormous lake. Lots of fishing. There's restaurants on the lake, so people can just take their boat right up to them. There's little marinas and gas stations on the lake. There's a boat landing in Port Adventure where you can launch right from there. There's golf courses around the lake, which is nice for me. It's just a great area.
Yeah, and I'm looking at there's a thing where the homeowners association is, and it looks like a community mostly of like retirees and middle-aged retirees for the most part.
Yeah, and so, hillbillies that have lived out there since the 80s, like my neighbor. Great guy.
Yeah, so you're not going to have to worry about them voting, far left or anything like that.
No.
No, I know. I'm just making a joke, right?
So yeah, yeah. But, I mean, that's great. I tell people because I'm from Maine, and I, when I come down here, I tell people I'm a leftugee because basically I lived abroad for 12 years, got back to Maine, and I was like, what the hell happened here?
Yeah.
And then I moved to Texas and considered myself a leftugee.
Yeah, no, it's crazy what's happening in like the liberal states. It's like it's kind of a way to escape. And I was making a video about this recently, talking about how civil wars basically play out. And it's not a civil war doesn't usually play out in every area of a country. It only plays out in the contested areas, the areas where you have mixed demographics, right? So, or where the two groups that are against each other are kind of living in. So
yeah, I thought that was a great insight. I saw that video.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, right? Like, the places that would be contested would be places like Colorado, for example, or maybe Nevada, with the South basically going to the left and the North kind of going to the right, and like every major urban center would basically be left leaning, but then how, those people would basically have to be like, I don't know, would they leave, would they go someplace else? I don't know what the hell would happen, right? Like, it's
just, I don't know what a civil war looks like, but yeah, it's the cities. It's the, even in Houston, I think there's a lot of Democrat politicians here. It's not all, it's not
in the
all
center
red.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's a great point though, because I have my place here in Houston, and I go out there a lot. I used to live out there full time when I came down from Maine, and it is a great bug out place. It's I was thinking about getting in touch with the prepper community here because
you've got fishing and there's probably game in the area. Like, are there any wild hogs that chase people out there?
Oh yeah, I bought one road basically in this subdivision. It's a dead end road, and the guy who sold it to me had his hog traps out down there. It was a piece right on the lake, and it's where the alligators come up to breed. So, and there's tons of deer. When you drive through the subdivision, you're always seeing deer, and there's lots of rabbits.
Yeah, I mean, it's
chickens.
People are always like, oh, you need to survive in the wilderness when there's no food. If you need to really need to survive. And the thing is, by the time the city people come to out there, you'll pretty have taken all the food, so they're done anyway. So yeah, it's a good,
and in terms of food prep, and I'm not even really worried too much about hunting anything down. I just have a lot of dry food that I keep out there in one of the shipping containers, and I feel like I'm all set.
So yeah, I mean, I'm looking at hopefully coming down in November or maybe early spring and just kind of taking a look. And you were saying that I could like hang out there for like a week or so and just like take a look and see if I like it or not before I decide to like plow money into it. And like you were saying that certain people would, under, you know, certain circumstances, you'd probably be able to do the same as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I really want this just not only to sell these lots, but really for, to make a community where I always feel like I'm a part of it. And I want to invite people down who have a vision and they know how to do cool stuff and we get to hang out. So I really want, if somebody wanted to come down here, I'd say, yeah, give me $100 to rent this lot until you decide to buy one, or you can, you know, I want to help people out who share the vision. And like you, I bought a shed home that I'm finishing out. I'm going to say, hey, just stay in this house for as long as you want.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but you know, for me, I just need the internet and, you know, just to kind of take a look and see what's going on.
Oh yeah. I mean, we'll hook up Starlink inside that house too, and you'll have internet.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. I just, you know, like, again, you don't, the thing is, you never know what an area is like until you actually spend, for me, I've traveled a lot. So I usually can tell within like a few days to a week what a place is like. So it's not a big deal. Like, it's all about convenience. Like, how close are you to getting, you know, the foods that you eat, or how close are you to, you know, getting all, you know, all the amenities that you need, how close are they? So, you know, that's, and like, what's the community like? Is it safe? You know, like, from what I've seen pictures of, it looks pretty good. Like, it's just, like living around seniors for the most part, they're too slow to do anything anyway. So you're pretty safe for the most part.
Oh yeah, it's safe. It's safe down there. I mean, you're going to have everything you need. I'm looking forward to seeing what you think about it. And I'm looking forward to seeing the feedback from this video as well, and just talking to people and hearing what they have to say and what their ideas are. And, you know, just,
yeah,
hope
so
you
just
find some good guys.
Just leave stuff, like, leave your comments in the comment section, and I guess we're going to see, like, where this goes, because it's kind of like, if I was building a community, I would have a very specific, like I said, very creative vision for the community that would kind of, I think it would gonna go above most people's heads, because I've traveled to a lot of roadside attractions, and there's, you know, I'll literally drive 500 miles to see something interesting. And I, you know, my whole thing is now I want to live in a place that is interesting, that has, that's visually appealing to the point where I feel like, okay, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Well,
like,
say somebody comes forward with an idea, or maybe you have an idea and it's like for this certain kind of tiny home and you all want them to look with this theme or whatever.
No, no,
you can just block.
They can't. The thing is, you can't. The moment you go with a theme, like, you know, a good city will usually have a theme. But the problem is, if you're not building a city, you're building like, you know, you're building a small community of independent men. So every single, like the way I see it, every single home needs to look unique as the man that's living in it.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It's like everybody can do what they want. But if you had a vision, or like a few of you got together and all had this plan, we could just block out a section of a street and take all those lots and do that.
Yeah, because you basically said you own like an entire street with all the different lots, right? So like, imagine if 10 guys or 20 guys got together and it's like, okay, well, you know, like what kind of style do you want to do it in? It's like, this person's like, I want to do like gothic. And this person's like, what, I want to do something science fiction-y. And like, you know, and then we could, because I always find, you know, beauty is universal. So for example, when I look at something or I design something, I always try to get as many opinions as possible. And then what happens is when I get to something that's really well designed, I either get one word, which is, oh, that's beautiful, from everybody, or, wow, I really, like, you get the same kind of response from as many people as possible. And like, like, beauty is universal. So once you get enough people agreeing that that is beautiful, then it's time to put that there. So if somebody says, okay, I want to put this building here, I want to build a building here, it's like, okay, well, what did you have in mind? And then, like, the idea is, once you show it to everybody and everyone's like, holy cow, I love that, that's it. You found what you're looking for, right? So I think, and then it's not just about the building itself or the small tiny home, but it's, how does it relate to the homes around it? Like, you know, if you build something that's gothic next to like something that's like, how would those two things look together? It's like, would that look cool? Yeah, that looks really interesting. Boom. Okay. So we'll, like, it's not necessarily a homeowners association and it's not really a committee. And I know men don't agree for the most part, but like, you know, you get a lot of people who don't understand how the creative mind works, and the creative mind, it looks for novelty, and it looks for like I told you about those qualities, like symmetry. It looks for faces. It looks for, you know, like connected to the environment around it. There's all these, you know, different factors that kind of go into architecture. And so I think it's kind of important to kind of do that. But then even when you have all of those things, if you show it to people and they don't like it, then you're still not there yet. And I've gone through this process in my own like creative work in terms of like Lego structures to know there's a universal theme. There's a universal appeal to certain things. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, well, when you're naming off all those things, like one cool concept I've always liked is the Asian style architecture.
I've lived
a bunch of places in Asia, so I've always thought it'd be cool to build a house or a cabin with an Asian style roof. I can't remember what that's called.
I'm looking it up right.
You know what I mean?
Tiny home. I'm looking for it, but I haven't sound. I know what you're talking about. Like,
if you can't find it, the cool thing is I've been using AI to come up with tiny home concepts, and it spits out some really interesting stuff. I'll send you some of the things I created after we get off.
For sure. Like, you know, like the thing is, like, you got to look at this kind of like a Minecraft world in a sense, right? Like, so like,
totally.
So everyone can kind of, because the thing is, it's not expensive if it's done. If it's done in like a creative way, like each, you have to think about each building being like an experimental piece of architecture.
Yeah. I mean, just like what I did, my shipping container home, and then I've got another 4 shipping containers all pushed together on the next lot over, and I'm going to make a much larger main building. And so that's all going to look pretty cool together, all the same theme.
Okay. All right. Any last things before I end this?
Well, I don't know. I just really want to hit home the idea that like this is where a lot of people can find freedom. And just when I used to be a teacher, when I started out, one of the things I did was I never took money out of my business, and I always lived for as little as possible. And for anybody out there who's maybe, I mean, this goes for anybody. This would be my advice to anybody, but anybody who's younger and they know they just want to like focus in and work on their online business, you know, this is a great way to do it, because you can be living for under 1,000 at least and be owning your own property. So I don't know. I think it's a great opportunity, and I'm interested to see what kind of feedback we get from this.
All right. Thanks again.
All right, Sam, man.
Later.